Well, this morning we sing to God's glory in Psalm 119. And we're going to begin at the beginning. Verses 1 to 8 in Psalm 119. We sing these opening verses. Blessed are they that undefiled and straight are in the way, who in the Lord's most holy law do walk and do not stray. Verses 1 to 8, Psalm 119. Now let us join together in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we have been singing concerning God's Word, concerning its relevance, concerning the blessing of those who walk in the ways of the Lord, concerning the all-sufficiency of the Scripture, with all its commands, with all its precepts and proverbs, wise sayings, with all its history, with all its prophecy, with all its explanation of so many things, for all its answers to so many of our questions, for its stories dealing with human situations. We give thanks, Lord, for the personalities that we meet in the scriptures, men and women who in predicaments similar to ours call upon the name of the Lord, and the record of how on so many occasions God intervenes suddenly, miraculously, sometimes not apparently so, but always hearing the prayers and the cries of those who call upon him. And we read in the scriptures, O God, the testimony in the Psalms, in the prophecies, in the Gospels, in the Epistles, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the Book of Revelation, the testimonies of those who have experienced grace and God and who look forward to glory. And as we in our generation now come again before these open scriptures, we pray that we would have a great confidence that these things that we read and sing are indeed the very words of God. Without this persuasion, O God, we acknowledge, our gathering here now would be futile. It would be damaging for us. It would be offensive to God. And so we pray that we would worship this morning, believing that God is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so as we wait again in thy holy presence, O God, we pray that God would come to our waiting hearts and speak to us a message that is of relevance, clarity, always relevance, but a message that we recognize as relevant, and a message that is so clear as to be unmistakable as to what we're to believe, what we're to hope, what we're to do, what we are to stop doing, and what direction we now, from this day forth, are to take as we walk in the ways of the Lord. We pray that our hearts would be open to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We pray that we would spend our lives running with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We pray, O God, that our worship would be heartfelt, that it would be heart-changing, heart-warming, heart-softening, that it would be such as would make us conscious of salvation and witnesses to salvation, that our worship and our gathering around the scriptures now would be of such a moment and such importance that we would have courage to speak up and clarity to know what to do when we do speak up, when to remain silent, how to be wise as to those times, and how to open our mouths and make a good confession, and how to be wise as to those times. We give thanks, O God, for daily bread, for everything in life. We give thanks for the good days and the not so good days and the bad days. We give thanks for good health. We give thanks for sometimes bad health. We give thanks for the pleasures of life and the pains of life. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that our lives at times are characterized by disappointment, and that we do not always have our own way, and our self-aggrandizement and self-indulgence at times is thwarted by unseen forces disadvantages and circumstances that alter our condition and our choices. And so this morning we give thanks for the Lord's day, for the Lord's word, for the Lord's people, for the great and precious promises and the prospects that the scripture holds out for us, as well as for the very rich tapestry of history that the scripture presents to us as we read through the word. We find ourselves, O God, often in a different place, in a different time, in a different climate, among people who are speaking a different language with different customs, but yet people like ourselves, with problems and prospects, hopes, disappointments and fears, people sharing faith down through the generations, and we find ourselves in the company of the saints, and we see a great cloud of witnesses, martyrs, who have gone before us, setting us, as it were, examples that we should follow in their footsteps. And above all, we see Jesus, and we are to follow in his footsteps. He did no sin, no guile was in his mouth, no wicked weapons were in his hands, no malice was in his heart. And he allowed himself to be abused and to be maltreated. He allowed himself to be misunderstood when he was reviled. He did not revile in return. And he submitted himself and committed himself to God, who judges justly. And he is setting before us that example that we should follow in his footsteps. And we pray that we would do so gladly, knowing that the direction that he takes us is a narrow way that leads to life. And he has gone that way before, and he comes with us, as it were, all over again. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, he tells us. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is our gospel that we read and to which we are exposed again now. And we pray that we would be willingly exposed, willingly submissive, taking a place under the scriptures and sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening and looking to him. We pray for the churches, we pray for the congregations to which we belong. We pray for our families and loved ones. We pray for our rulers over us in these days of confusions and contradictions. We pray for the church to have clarity of thought and clarity of speech. We pray for preachers to be bold, and to have not only boldness and courage, but clarity and compassion as they preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and make the mystery of the gospel plain as we ought to speak. And all for God's glory, we pray all things and always looking, because we need to confess and seek for mercy and for grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter's second epistle in chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it suitable, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, this body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that you may be able after my death to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation or invention or initiation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and so on. Now the intimations are again the usual ones. The afternoon meeting is 4:30, a recorded message, and Wednesday, of course, 7 p.m. and next Lord's Day the same hours, 10:30 a.m. 4:30 p.m. And these will all be recorded messages, and we welcome you to listen in. And if you're listening in for the first time, we welcome you and trust that the word will do you some good as together we listen to the word of God. Well, these are the intimations thus far. And we will continue now to sing in Psalm 119. And we're going to sing verses 9 to 16. Psalm 119, verse 9. By what means shall a young man learn his way to purify, if he, according to thy word, thereto attentive be? We sing to the end of this section, to verse 16. We sing to God's glory.